Okay, well, they're lining up to talk with Mike Barra as we talk about physics and the mind right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Mike, before we go take calls, let's check in on Dark Mission, by the way, the first book you wrote with Richard C. Hoagland, The Secret History of NASA. If and I know you've updated it quite a bit. What's your take on what's going on with NASA these days?
Well, you know, I don't know. It seems to me that basically the space program is being shut down. I mean, you know, Richard has this theory that Obama's going to end up being the savior of NASA. But if you really look at it right now, I mean, what I see is a guy who's shutting down the manned space program. I mean, we're retiring the shuttles. We're not going into low Earth orbit. They pretty much canceled the Bush plans to go to the moon. And really, it's a bit disturbing because what you have here is a situation where you no longer are going to have any independent witnesses of anything that's out there. And, you know, by that I mean the astronauts. We document this a lot in Dark Mission. The astronauts, they have hinted and leaked and even subconsciously put forth a lot of details and a lot of information on what they really found out there on the moon and out in space. And that's been very critical to the history and the narrative, the secret history of NASA really coming out. I mean, it was a key part. We couldn't have written the book anywhere nearly as effectively without the testimonials from the different astronauts. So the loss of that manned space program, to me, is really the loss of any hope that we have of getting the truth anytime soon, at least from NASA itself. Because what's going to happen now is all the exploration is going to be done purely through their very tightly controlled unmanned spacecraft robots, and, you know, just not a lot of information that you can trust comes out of those missions and those projects. We've certainly had a lot of bad experiences with them over the years, Richard and I. So it's tragic, really, that we're giving up our leadership in space, because it is really something that also drives the technological innovation of the United States.
Because of finances, would you be opposed to a total joint effort with everybody? You know, we have the European Space Commission, the Japanese are doing their thing, those in India are doing theirs, the Russians are doing theirs, the Chinese are doing. What if we all did it together? Is that good or bad?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I just got to give you personally, I'm a bit of a nationalist. I think we ought to do this for our own benefit, not for the benefit of other countries, except down the road. And I especially don't trust the Chinese. But, you know, there's a different thought process here, which is that really what's going on is that with the 2012 era taking place, and really I say in the choice, I argue that it's going to not just be 2012, but it's going to be all the way through to about 2023.
It's with this federation.
With this instability, that maybe what has to be done is that this technology to get out of, you know, get off the planet or get out in space or whatever it is we're trying to do, having it democratized, having it spread around all these other nations, you know, might be a good idea for the survival of the species, depending on what, if anything, actually happens in 2012. So I understand that argument, but personally, I think if you put that aside, if you say that 2012 is going to be just sort of a shift in consciousness and basically the world is going to go on something similar to the way it is now, then I think you have to have, as a nation, you have to have an investment in that high technology and that future, and that's really what the space program has always given us over the last 40 or 50 years. So I don't think we should give it up. You know, I don't know that we should do that. I think we should keep moving forward with our own program.
Interesting. Okay, let's go to Dave, truck driving in Michigan on Coast to Coast. David, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
Good, great. Hey, interesting thing about the whole karma and being connected. The trucking company I work for, I don't work for them anymore, but they primarily kept me in Pennsylvania and in New England state for 8 months. And they run everything east of the Mississippi, and I could never get down to those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this homeless guy that I always sat by this truck stop. He's always at the off-ramp, and every time I run up that off-ramp, I go to the truck stop, get a couple burgers, some Gatorade or whatever, and give it to him. Well, over Christmas break, my kids were off school. I decided to take my wife and kids with me. And without making any requests or anything to dispatch, I also got sent to St. Louis, Missouri. And from St. Louis, Missouri, I got sent straight down to Texas, where my wife's in-laws are, or where my in-laws are, my wife's family.
Right.
And out of 8 months of not seeing that, that area, and it just happened that week that I take my wife and kids with me. She gets to go see her family that she hadn't seen in 3 years. And it was just things like that, the karma, the doing good, or the good vibes spreading out, I've become a strong believer in.
Absolutely.
Just, and the whole connected thing, I've got a friend of mine, I just met him like 2 years ago, that he had a really bad accident. He got foobarred, but he's still active, and he's, you know, his brain is there. Mm-hmm. He got physically messed up, but we're really close. And we've become really close, and the weird thing about it is he knows what I'm thinking. I know what he's thinking before we even do it. My daughter was riding her bicycle around the block the other day, and we were sitting in his truck. You know, we're jamming, listening to some music, just chilling out. And my daughter went around the corner, and she didn't show up around the other side of the house where we could see her. And, you know, about 10, 15 seconds passed by, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm getting out of the truck to go check. And before I could even do that, he started up the truck, and we started going around the corner, and we hadn't spoken a word. And I think that just goes along the whole long lines of being connected, or that we're all connected in some way.
Well, there's no question. React to this, Michael, about the connection part, because I agree wholeheartedly with
Dave. Well, it's really interesting. Certainly the connection, the attraction part of it. You know, I remember when he started talking about the homeless person, I remember in 2009, after I had the really kind of deep spiritual experience I talked to you about it at the church, what started happening to me is that people started coming up to me and asking me for money. And, you know, I mean, this is L.A. There's a lot of panhandlers here, but none of them felt like panhandlers. And every time it was somebody that was obviously in need. I was at the airport, and some lady said, you know, my car broke down. I need $100 to tow it. I've only got $80. Can you give me $20, you know? And I gave her $100 out of my pocket because I was going to Vegas. And I had plenty. And you know, I thought, okay, she could have been ripping me off. And you know, later on, then I saw her before I got on the plane. I saw her, and she was down, and her car was there, and there was a tow truck there. And she started crying when I gave it to her. Another thing happened to me in Atlanta, where I'm sitting in my car at 9 o'clock at night. I parked it in the parking lot of this hotel, and this lady knocks on my window, scared the heck out of me, and asked me for money. And I had for gas because she had to get to her daughter. I gave her $35. She started crying. I mean, she was not a panhandler, and I started really having that experience over and over again. So, yeah, there's a connectedness, and when you put certain things out to the universe, you're going to start attracting that. And I never felt like during that period where that was really happening to me a lot, I never felt like I got taken to the cleaners by a professional panhandler. I really felt like I made a difference in people's lives, and you know, that's the kind of thing that happens when you get in touch with that spiritual center.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Dave, Tamara in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the manifestation and the speed up and how it's going to start. The manifestations are going to be coming automatically. Like, you're going to think of something and it's going to happen so fast. I've had it happening for like about the past year, where something I think of somebody, they walk around the corner, you know, to the point where
what happened to you? What was that all about?
I don't know, but I don't know, George. But I'm sitting here trying to manifest the Porsche that I want. I'll tell you that right now. If that works, I'm thinking about my Porsche. You know, it's really funny. I wanted to tell you something else. The vegetarian hate mail has already started because apparently we upset quite a few people by saying that plants felt just as much as animals did, and I got some nasty Facebook hate mail during the break. So
if it's true, why would they hate you about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, because apparently they felt like I was trying to minimize what animals feel, which I don't think that we said anything like that. I never said I approved of the way we slaughter animals. I don't think you did. And apparently the carrot screaming thing got some people upset, George, but you know, we'll have to just move on from that.
The research shows that a plant responds to stimulus and understands if somebody is there ready to pull it out of the ground.
Absolutely.
It feels that.
But you know, you have to understand, I guess what it is that, you know, people have somehow got it in their mind that it's better to eat plants because plants don't have those feelings and they don't get hurt by, you know, the act of being eaten, and that makes them feel better somehow than the idea of an animal, because we can all connect with animals because of the way they behave. Like, especially my cats are trying to tear my house apart right now. But you know, it's like, hey, you just have to understand that this is something you have to do in this lifetime here on in the three dimensions, and you know, you have to appreciate that plants seem to have the same responses, like you said, as animals do. So it's sad that we have to do that to survive, but we do.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to El Segundo, California. Jonathan, west of the Rockies. Hey, John, go ahead.
Talk about the world evolution, the we level of consciousness, where people are beginning to reach the we consciousness, the whole Earth, getting beyond the us, the United States, and them. And the only way we can solve all the problems, starting with the ecology, we have to think in terms of Earth. You know, home is here on Mother Earth. We're all you beings of light that have emanated, and we're living on the same planet. So what happens in Japan or with these plate changes, it affects the whole Earth. And then the next level of awareness is the we economy. We have to think in terms of one monetary system eventually to get to the point where we have a we fund and a treasury where we can have money for the whole planet and supply all the needs of every being on the planet. And the next one is the we public of Earth, where we deal with the we United Nations and think in terms like with Libya, situations that the whole Earth know are wrong. We have an R-We, which is basically a group of people that all work together to provide peace and plenty for the planet. And the final one is the We Legion of Love, getting past all the diverse religions that have caused nothing but hate and suffering because of my God's better than your God, and think in terms of a We birth, We revival, and a We resurrection.
Let me tell you, Jonathan, in a perfect world, that would all be fantastic. But this is not a perfect world, and there's a lot of greed and corruption out there. And I don't think we can do a globalist agenda. Mike?
No, I agree with you. And the thing that always gets lost in all these we kinds of things is the uniqueness of the individual. And I don't support anybody losing that at all. I mean, we're not all the same. We're extremely diverse in our skills and our talents and how they're appreciated by our fellow man. Does it seem absurd that Charlie Sheen is making as much money as he is? Yes. But some people place a value on it. So I think it would be great to have more cooperation and less conflict. But the reality is, you know, this is this existence, I think there's a lot of it is we're here to have conflict and to have struggles. We've got to try to make the world better, but we're never going to make it perfect. I don't think that's the nature of three-dimensional existence is perfection. I just don't believe it's possible. But we do have to strive to be the best that we can possibly be. And to me, it's like you say, the globalist agenda is not one that I support. And that's why I still tend to be a bit of a nationalist and think that we have to try to maintain our own identity here.
Let's go to Laytonville, California. It's Vicky's turn. Good morning, Vicky. Go ahead.
Hi George. I was listening to your show, and it was kind of crazy because last night I was reading that book about Secret Life of Plants. And then just today I was talking about global consciousness to some friends, and the way I feel about it is that when you know something's going to be or happen, all the way down to like your self-image, and it just worries me, the global consciousness about people, if they think something's going to, you know, and if things are going to end or they're going to be, you know, something terrible is going to happen, that just everyone concentrating on it could have a bad effect.
Yeah, it's true. But you know what? What I really want people to focus on is that look, this is not something to be upset about or to mourn. This shift and transition that we're going to go through is an opportunity for us to make things better. It's an opportunity for us to create a better and more fair monetary system. I mean, you know, George, a few months ago you had a guy on talking about the mortgage situation, and basically every mortgage out there is done in fraud, and people are losing their houses that really do own their houses. And So there's a lot of things about the world that I'd like to change, and we have to look at this as an opportunity to shift everything to the better rather than it being, you know, mourning the loss of the way things are now, because let's face it, things are not that great. There's a lot of things about our country and our government and our world right now that aren't that great. So let's not mourn the loss of the current system. Let's try to create something new and better.
Let's go now to Jacksonville, Florida, and talk to Jake. Jake, you're on with Mike Barra.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just have a comment and a question. I just want to say about the 2012 thing that I hope it's positive. I've had a lot of bad stuff happen to me and people around me last few years, so hopefully, you know, I'm going to stay positive. Hopefully it's good. The question I have, though, is since the Mayans have the prophecy or whatever, I was wondering if maybe what's going to happen is maybe like as a world, like everybody comes into consciousness that we aren't alone. Maybe that's what the big event is that people realize. Because, like, the people listen to Coast to Coast and stuff like that, like, we all realize that we're probably not alone, or that some people probably know that we aren't. But, like, the third world countries and stuff like that, they'll probably freak out a little bit when they hear it. And I think that's maybe, but I just want to get your take on it. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right. You've got about a minute or so to go, Mike.
You know, the thing is, again, this is going to be what we choose it to be. What the Mayans say is that at the end of time, we will all face our personal hall of mirrors, and we will pass judgment on ourselves. And at the same time, the serpent god Quetzalcoatl is going to fly a serpent rope from the center of the galaxy. And that's a description of a physical force called torsion. And he's going to manifest here in 3D, and he's going to pass judgment on the human race. Now, when we hear that and we immediately go to the westernized Day of Judgment, Biblical Judgment Day, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, you know, you're good, you're bad, you go to heaven, you go to hell. That's not the judgment that's going to take place. What's going to take place is that this spiritual energy is going to judge the intent of this planet, what we want to have happen. And that is what we are going to get. And that's going to be set, I think, probably for the next 26,000 years. So what I'm trying to get everybody across is that don't buy into this fear stuff. These bad things, they can happen. It's possible. We've had some rough periods here. But it's important to understand, and I don't mean to minimize the loss of life, but, you know, 25,000 or so people died in Japan, but there's still 7.5 billion of us left. And we can focus on how to make this come out the way we want it to come out by simply asking for what we want and choosing the kind of world we want to live in. And that's what I'm trying to get people to appreciate, that we're in control, so don't be afraid. I mean, are you afraid of your own choices? I'm not.
No, I mean, I don't agree with all my choices sometimes after the fact.
Yeah, who does?
But it's a learning curve, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we learn. If people do want to email you and not attack you because of your view on plants, what's your email address?
Giving that one out, but you can contact me. I've got a website. It's mikebarra.com, mikebarra.com, and there's all kinds of cool stuff on there. Facebook, right. YouTube, Twitter, all that.
All right. Well, you're going to come right back. We're going to take final phone calls with you. Mike Barra on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Hank Wesselman joins us as we talk about shamanism. Fascinating program in store. Hey, by the way, if you're a Coast insider, just want you to know the second weekend in May, we will have our video chat for you as I'll be back in Los Angeles. And we'll have some fun doing that. And they're working on a little technique for you where we'll keep the camera on during commercial breaks during the program, too. So I don't know if that'll be ready in time, but the second Tuesday of May, we'll have our video chat for Streamlink members. If you want to join Streamlink, by the way, which is 25 cents a day, just merely go to coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll take Mike Barra's final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Mike, what do you mean when you say physics might dictate that we're in a time of a change? What does that mean?
Well, again, it goes back to the scientific studies that I talk about in The Choice, where basically, you know, John Nelson found out that the positions of the planets actually affected the magnetic output of the sun. And if they can affect and also affect the quality of shortwave radio signals, and if the positions of the planets can affect electromagnetic signals like radio waves, they can definitely affect electromagnetic signals like brain waves. And as you look at the, and he also found out that these positions, these geometric configurations, conformed to astrology. In other words, positive, you know, geometric configurations had positive effects. Negative geometric configurations had negative effects on the radio waves. So if you look at that and you look at the planets and the astrological meanings of the planets, and you look at the 2012 astrology, the different alignments that are going on there, there's something called a yod, which is the hand of God or the finger of God, taking place on December 21st, 2012. What these show is that there will be, you know, polarization and conflict, especially we're going to be rethinking and kind of trying to decide what our government structures are going to be like and our monetary structures are going to be like. And the last time the astrology lined up like this, you know, was the American Revolution. So basically, if you start looking at all this stuff and put this picture together, what I see pretty clearly is that we're headed for a time of great transition, and it's being driven by the physics. You know, the people that invented astrology, they understood the physics of the planets and how it affected the way we thought and what it did to us. And they definitely, you know, predicted things that were going to happen during this time. And I think it's pretty clear to me that we're following the pattern that that I talk about in The Choice, that we're definitely headed towards change, upheaval, conflict, which, again, not necessarily a bad thing. Let's choose how we want it all to come out.
Okay, back to the calls. Let's go to Brandon, San Antonio, Texas. Brandon, good morning. You're on with us.
How's it going, George?
Good, thank you.
Just got a comment and a question. I would like to say that you have a really good show, and I'd probably say that you made my mother terribly paranoid, but it's all good. And she's making 2012 survival list with cigarettes on the top of the list. It's kind of crazy. But my question was, I was really interested on what Mike was saying about the whole Enlightenment coming in 2011, I believe he said, right?
I'm sorry, what was it again? The what?
The whole Enlightenment, people reflecting on themselves.
Right, exactly. That's actually what the Mayans say that's going to happen actually on the winter solstice in 2012, yeah.
I would like to say, like, I'm really seeing that happening. A lot of people are changing. I'm seeing that in myself. I was, like, abusing drugs, but I just woke up one day, and I was just like, you know what, this is not right. And I'm starting, like, to appreciate everything and appreciate people and love, you know?
Yeah. And you know, this is exactly what the calendar says is supposed to start happening to everyone. So.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, it's amazing. I was just such a dull person. I'm just, like, all uppity. But you were talking about earlier, too, about the people's different frequencies for their mind. I'm sorry, I'm a little lost in words. You're speaking about you're talking about the frequencies on the mind's will to if you want something like to happen. You're talking about the leaf. Would that be more available to people in like 2012? Like people are going to start being able to tune into these frequencies.
Yeah, actually, yeah, and that's a really good point, because I was going to make a point earlier again about the previous guest, Dr. Rick, what he was talking about, which is that not only are some people individually more able to affect the greater good, everybody has an opportunity on certain dates to amplify their output. In other words, to amplify what it is that you want. You have way more power on certain dates. A prime example would be eclipse dates. For instance, I did a thing with a friend of mine, Dr. Dream Mark Peebler, on the lunar eclipse on the winter solstice in 2010, exactly 2 years before the end of the calendar. So, you know, a small group of people under certain conditions when the astronomical alignments are correct can have a far more reaching, far more dramatic effect than even, you know, constant praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 10 years. You have a way bigger opportunity at certain dates and times. And so as we go through 2011 and 2012, I think we got to look at the eclipses. We have to look at the astrology. And maybe what I'll do at some point on my website is kind of put up just a list of the big days coming up where you have a chance not only to enhance your own personal life by having sort of an enhanced energetic power or power of prayer, whatever you want to call it, but you also have a chance during those specific times to send out a signal for the greater good. And that's really, I think, what's going to end up ultimately saving us all from anything bad happening in 2012 or beyond.
Let's go to Nicole in Santa Monica, Texas. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning, and I'm from San Marcos, Texas. So I just want to correct that for all the listeners that are listening right now to your show. Just a comment. My husband had mentioned, you know, he's really into the universe thing, into yoga and being very spiritually aware and things like that. And at first I was kind of weary, but as time went on, I started realizing that he really does, you know, he's really good at this. You know, he does get in touch with that side. And a couple of years ago, he went to Montana, I believe it was, and he was on his way. And he took some pictures of Nevada, Wells, Nevada. And he had commented to us, you know, because he had taken a lot of beautiful pictures. And when he came back, apparently they had an earthquake in Nevada, in Wells, and it was just, you know, a lot of places destroyed. And all he had to show was these pictures, and then he lost the cell phone. But my point is that he had sensed it and then turned around and, you know, was able to witness, you know, such a beautiful place, and then to find that, yes, something was going to happen there, and he knew it, and it did. There was an earthquake in the middle of Nevada. Well, you know, in Nevada. And my other thing is, as far as that, you know, is it true? How do you feel about what it says? Who you hang around is what you become. How would they have handled that? You know, like the Mayans, you're going through the Mayans and things. How would they have dealt with that kind of situation? Is it true?
You mean dealt with a premonition about an event taking place, or is that what we're talking about?
Well, I guess people become chameleons, don't they?
Yeah, to a certain extent. And, you know, it's really interesting that she brings this up because, you know, Richard, one of the things I put in the choice was some research that Richard did on something called the Flynn effect, which is, it's named after a psychologist, I believe it is, who studies IQ tests. And what he found was is that IQ tests are accelerating way beyond anything that can be accounted for by, you know, errors in the cultural differences or the computers or video games or anything like that. And it's commonly called the Flynn effect. And Richard really figured it out that what they tell you on an IQ test is if you don't know the answer, just take your best guess, take your best shot. So what's actually happening is that intuition, people's intuition is accelerating. And that's what all this new energy being pumped into our consciousness. This is the prime example of this new energy being pumped into our consciousness, pumped into our brains. We are starting to become much more intuitive people. We're trusting our gut instincts more. And, you know, we're able to have these kinds of experiences. And that really reinforced to us that there's something much bigger going on than just, you know, again, who wins the football game this weekend or whether the Red Sox win the World Series or not. There's really some bigger stuff going on. The other thing sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, I was going to say one other thing is that there's also certain times a day where your power to influence events and to trust your intuition is far greater, and that's called local sidereal time, which essentially simplified is when the constellation of Sagittarius is most directly over your local location. And that is important because that's where the center of the galaxy is, in this huge, supermassive black hole, which is pumping all this energy into the galaxy at all times. So these are things, and it's been interesting because of the experiment that Dr. Rick was talking about doing. It would be interesting and a bit to get even more impressive results if he did the experiment at certain times of the day and on days where we had other amplifying effects like eclipses going on.
All right, next up we have Mary in Wisconsin. Hey, Mary, thanks for calling.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for being me. And I apologize about my voice. I hope you can understand what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to keep it really short because I can barely hear you.
Okay. Everything that your guests are talking about are so incredibly true, and I've experienced a lot of stuff actually firsthand. I've had dreams that have come true all my life. I've had all these different experiences. I was messing around with some rods, and they absolutely go wild. And I'll tell you, I really hate that stuff. And it scares the daylights out of me. But one thing you understand is that without the mercy and compassion that we're supposed to have, believe that all the planets and the sun have a consciousness themselves.
Well, everything has a consciousness, Mike. Everything.
Yeah, absolutely everything does. I mean, you know, everything's made up of this energy field. I mean, even the tables and the objects that we think of as inanimate, granite, rocks, things like that, they all have an animation. They all have a life. They all have a consciousness. I think that that's pretty well proven by a lot of the experiments we've talked about tonight. And I go into even more depth than that in my book, In the Choice. So, yeah, everything's completely conscious, and you have to move through life with compassion for everything. And, you know, I mean, you're going to have an impact on the planet. That's just the way it is. You're just going to, because you're meant to. But it's just really important for all of us to be aware that, you know, everything we do has consequences and affects other beings, and we have to be selfless about how we go through our lives.
You really can't have any actions without consequences.
No, you can't. And I guess if I did believe in any laws of physics or laws of the universe, that would be one that I would have to agree with. I mean, let's face facts. You chop down a tree to build your house. Well, you do need a house. And, you know, I think in the overall scheme of things, it's okay for you to build a house or to even, you know, make the bricks or to eat food. It you've got to survive. And
yeah, but sometimes this is how it works. If you chop down the tree, the consequences might be it might fall on your car.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
That's
true. But,
so.
But I mean, I don't know. You can get into the real abstract thing. I mean, is chopping down a tree a bad thing necessarily? I mean, the earth, I think, is here to support us. And you know, in return for that, we have to take better care of her than we've been taking care than we have been to this point. But, you know, I mean, these things are here for us to use. I think that the way we slaughter animals is not okay now that we're on that subject. It feels like a breach of contract. And, you know, they should be allowed to, you know, free to live freely, to live their lives normally before we have to use them for food. And those are the kinds of that's the kind of consciousness shift that I expect that we'll start to have as we go through this 2012 experience.
Or can it backfire?
Can it backfire?
Yeah. This positive consciousness, can it all backfire? And it turns very, very dark.
Yeah, it can. And the thing is, there's always darkness out there. There's always dark forces that want to control and want to manipulate and are more materialistic. And, you know, we have to fight those. I don't think that we can, I tell you what, it can backfire if we start to believe in our do-goodism a little bit too much. Like the lady that sent me the hate mail, I mean, she didn't know what, she just assumed she knew what my position was on animals. Somehow I upset her by saying that plants feel the same things that humans and animals do when they're slaughtered. And that's a kind of an example of a really closed mindset. Somebody who thinks that they're really highly evolved, but they're really not. I mean, you know, the truth is, George, there's a lot of benefits to this modern society that we have. There's a lot of medicines and things like that we have that are really important and have really made the lives of human beings a lot better. And, you know, we do need some oil. We can't transition off of an oil economy for about 100 years. And there's nothing wrong with going and drilling for it, but we ought to be as careful with that as we can. But, you know, yeah, we have to avoid overdoing it in the other direction and kind of imposing our will on everybody else. That's for sure.
Well, let's grab Ray in Belleville, Illinois. First-time caller. Hi, Ray.
Hi, George. I'd like to take exception to the premise of some of the things your guest has said. For example, a more fair monetary system serving the greater good.
Right.
Now, it seems to me that the greater good is served by encouraging people to become successful in their own right and to be contributing members of society. For example, now we all make our own choices. I happen to be a truck driver. I live not too far from where you're at, George. I live in Belleville, Illinois.
Yeah, that's right across the river.
Yes, sir. But now I chose this profession. I chose to drive for the company I'm driving for. I chose to accept the wages they offered to pay me and the benefits. I made those decisions on my own, and I made the choices I made, and I'm doing the work, and I'm being compensated for the work that I'm done according to our agreement. Now, to my way of thinking, that's fair. Now, in along with that, I do pay my taxes. I do contribute to society. I'm not a pariah. I'm not a drain on other people. But so many times I hear about serving the greater good, and people want to get into it seems to me I'm always hearing about people having to pay their fair share.
Well, I've got 20 seconds left here, Ray and Mike, and, you know, the way I look at this is, you know, we have workers and we have those who just want handouts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't see that getting any smaller. I think the divide is going to get even wider. Mike Barra, thanks for being on the program as usual, and keep in touch. Mike Barra, for Dan Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.